And that's me. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Actually, the first show that I've been able to welcome Tom to the program in 2021. Tom, how are you? Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, too.
You know, you can say Happy New Year, I think, up until maybe 10 days into the new year, something like that.
Or to anyone you haven't already said it to.
Hey, there you go. Welcome. It is Buckmaster on Wednesday, midweek edition, January 6, 2020. It's Three Kings Day, Feast of the Epiphany. Three Kings Day, celebrating the three wise men's visit to the baby Jesus, and also remembers his baptism, the United States Virgin Islands, St. John, St. Croix, and St. Thomas. Observing the day is a public holiday. Good day to go to the beach if you're in the United States Virgin Islands. I kind of wish I was there right now, but I'm not. Anyway, we are beginning year 11 on the program. We officially celebrated our 10-year anniversary on Monday, so we're into week 11, bringing folks together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk is our mothership, our home station, with worldwide live listening on the website, my website, buckmastershow.com, where we take the piggyback live feed from kvoi.com, the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Tucson Councilman Steve Kasachek, Democrat representing Ward 6. Ward 6 includes the University of Arizona and Central Tucson. Councilman, how are you? Happy New Year to you.
Doing well. Same to you. And your 10-year anniversary, you started on a very interesting kind of week in our history of the city of Tucson.
Sure did.
What were some of your first shows related to the Safeway shooting?
Well, yesterday would have been the Tuesday of that first week. Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was sworn in after being reelected in November, sworn into a new term. And Congresswoman Giffords gave us an interview on Thursday of that week, and that turned out to be, Steve Kasachek, the last interview with a media representative that she did. And I understand in the new memorial and opportunity that they're going to have down at the courthouse, they are going to have that interview in there, which would be kind of fun and nice and interesting. Yeah. So yeah. It was quite a week indeed.
Well, and for your listeners, the memorial, the 10-year anniversary will be done virtually, as is everything these days. But it's going to be taped also. Pima County's got a website that they're going to tape it, but KVOA is going to run it live, and then they'll have a story on the 10-year look back later in the evening. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but I knew that was a big week for you and a big week for this community. Bob Walkup was the mayor at the time. I remember walking to and from campus to my house, passing what is now Banner UMC Hospital and seeing that memorial pop up on the lawn outside, and it was just amazing how this community responded to that. Hope springs eternal that we get some common sense gun safety legislation, but nothing has happened in the last decade. And since then, we've seen Sandy Hook and others, and so I guess we'll just keep plugging along and hoping for the best with the new legislature.
We're going to mark the memorial, the 10-year anniversary of the Tucson shooting tragedy with Tucson shooting tragedy survivor Ron Barber, former congressman, and of course he was very close to Gabrielle Giffords. He was her representative here in the Tucson office, and of course Ron was wounded, and he will be our guest Wednesday. Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, Wednesday, will be our guest on Friday, and Sarah Garrett Gasson will join me in the hour talking with Congressman Barber, so that should be interesting.
It should be.
All right, Steve Kasachek, your op-ed on December 29th in the Star pleaded with the University of Arizona and President Robbins not to bring students back to campus. You said it's just too risky. They're not all coming back. What's the latest?
Well, as of yesterday in his press briefing, President Robbins said that they are opening up in-person classes for certain limited numbers of students. Then about 3,900 students will be doing the in-person classes. But he said, you know, we can't tell the rest of them not to come back, even though they're going to be sitting in their apartments or whatever, studying virtually. Well, in fact, they can send out a message that says, we're not holding in-person classes for you unless you're in these, labs or anatomy class or whatever. And so we're requesting that you don't fly back and bring your potential infection back into the community. And we'll let you know. We'll give you plenty of notice before we do an actual reopening. They're not doing that. And to me, it's just, we wouldn't be having 30,000 people fly back into this community if it weren't for the anticipation of the university reopening. He was very clear yesterday, and so was Richard Carmona, in saying the numbers are so far out of whack right now that we may be in this mode for the entire semester. Well, Bill, then tell the students that. Tell them before they fly back here from California and Colorado and Texas and all over the United States, start living back in these towers, which are obviously super spreader opportunities. That's what happened back in September when they reopened the first time. It should come as no surprise to anybody. We did the testing. I was involved directly with it. In fact, I was in the lobby of a couple of those towers doing the testing of the students. And the positivity rates were north of 35%. Well, that's not a surprise. And then you've got a congregate setting where you have, 300, 400, 500 students living together, and so it's going to spread again. So we are right now in a situation where the hospitals are over capacity. We are right on the verge of, we're not on the verge. TMC and Banner have stopped taking elective patients. Every day they're opening up new wards for COVID patients. ICUs are full. And the COVID numbers in this community, now the state of Arizona is number one in the world again. I guess if you're going to be number one, you might as well be number one for something. And that's us. Last week when I wrote the guest piece, California was the number one per capita. So we've surpassed them. So I think it's highly irresponsible for the university administration to be taking the position that there's nothing we can do. You can certainly be proactive in sending the message. Secondly, if you're not going to send that message that we're not going to open up until, March or whatever the date is, don't even pick a date, but we'll let you know, then at least make it mandatory that the students who are back here taking classes, even virtually, present a test, a valid COVID PCR test, in order to continue to participate in those classes, even virtually. Now, it wasn't too long ago that the university said that mandatory testing was unconstitutional. That was a lie. They know it was a lie. They're doing mandatory testing all over the country. And now even the U of A is talking about doing limited mandatory testing for students who are taking in-person classes or who are coming onto campus. My suggestion to them has been and continues to be, extend that to students who are back in the community waiting for you to reopen the campus. They wouldn't be here but for that hope. And they know what the sanction would be. They've already announced it, and that would be that if you don't present us a negative COVID test within the last 7 days, or pick your date, then we're going to cut off your Wi-Fi access to campus. And they can do that. That's what they're going to do with the students who are coming onto campus if they don't present the test. And my suggestion is do it for the students who are off campus too. They're the ones who are out in the community. They're the ones who are going to be spreading it out in the community. I totally understand that inside classrooms is not the vulnerable's location. They're doing a wonderful job of cleaning classrooms and testing on-campus students and all that. But out in the community is my concern. And right after This campus opened in September. The 85719 zip code was the hot spot in the county. It will be again in a few weeks once the students return.
All right, and there's very little room for any more tests. I mean, any more room for positive tests in this community. As you pointed out, we're really a hot spot per capita, most COVID really in the world. And this is horrible. I mean, we can do so much better.
Absolutely, and it's within their authority to do so much better. And it was really disappointing to hear that. Dog and pony show yesterday of, you know, how what a great job we're doing on campus. And he literally said, Robbins literally said, we can't tell them not to come. Well, you absolutely certainly can tell them that we're not going to do in-person classes for your area until the numbers drop down. So please don't come back to the community. You can do that. And you can follow that up by saying, and if you do, we're going to require that you provide a negative test or we're going to cut off your Wi-Fi so you can't do the classes. They didn't want to do that because they got some pushback from some faculty, I understand, from on campus saying that they were penalizing the students by making them take a negative test. I don't consider taking a COVID test to be punitive. And if you test positive, then we darn sure ought to know that. So number one, you can isolate. Number two, we can contact trace and get our arms around the spread.
Yep.
That's not punitive. That's common sense public health.
All right. Well, a common sense place to go for all of your bakery goods, Steve Kasachek, is Mona's Danish Bakery. And, Steve, they had a great season up there at Mona's. Owner and chief baker, Steve, wants everyone in our listenership to know and that they had a great season. They really want to thank everybody. Mona's, home of the Danish Bakery, Danish Kringle. Well, home of the Danish Bakery, that's for sure. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch, and of course they you can call ahead, you can go on the internet and go to the website, monasdanishbakery.com, put in your order there. You can walk in, of course, with your mask. There's very limited in bakery dining, but outside there's plenty of room on the patio. Check it out, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. More with Steve Kasachek and what we're going to do about how do we get this vaccine into folks' arms as quickly as possible. That's what we'll be talking with the councilman right after this.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We continue our conversation with Tucson City Councilman. He represents Ward 6, Democrat on the Tucson City Councilman, Steve Kasachek. Talking about this distribution of how we're going to get this vaccine into people's arms, what role will the city be playing? Is there perhaps there'd been talk about the Tucson Convention Center as a possible site? What are you hearing, Steve?
Well, yes to the possibility. In fact, I would say the likelihood of the TCC being a distribution site. In addition to that, other pop-up locations. The county right now has completed through yesterday just over 22,000 vaccinations. They've got 65,000 allocated, so we're only about a third of the way to vaccinating all that we've been allocated.
And that's as of January 5th through January 5th. Okay.
Yeah. So tangled up in the numbers, but they have received, Pima County Health has received 47,000 doses. They have about another 20,000 coming. But we've only administered about 22,000. So about a half of what we have and about a third of what we're going to get. Right now, they are vaccinating the priority 1A group. Those are healthcare workers, healthcare support, emergency medical service workers, and people who work in and are residents of long-term care facilities. That's the group that they're looking at right now. As earlier this morning, I was in touch with Francisco Garcia and Terry Cullen down at Pima County Health, talking with them about volunteers and the kinds of things that they're going to need. You do not need to be a doctor or a nurse or somebody who can administer an injection in order to volunteer for this, to help with this. Because the kinds of people that they're going to need, in addition to the people with a medical background, are, for instance, people to help direct traffic, people to sign people in. You know, I mean, it's going to be a major operation, even at the pop-up sites. And so if people want to volunteer for this, again, in a medical or a non-medical capacity, they have a website. It's EOC, volunteer. At pima.gov. EOC stands for Emergency Operations Center, for people to remember it. So it's EOC volunteer at pima.gov. That's how you can sign up to help get the vaccinations out. They are reaching out right now. Again, we were sharing some exchanges late last night. I was with the folks from the health department. We have people working with the elderly. Who are homebound. they would certainly qualify for the 1B, adults who are 75 and older. But finding them, you've got a 78-year-old father or mother who is living alone, who are eligible for the vaccine, but getting to them, identifying them, and then getting this vaccine out to them is going to be a challenge. So they're going to need all hands on deck and all the help from the community that they can get in order to find the people and also to deliver and administer the vaccinations. But right now, Terry Cullen yesterday said we're doing better than any other county in the state, but it's not good enough.
What about University of Arizona employees and students?
Well, they're not in the top three categories, nor do I think they should be. Students are not in a cohort that is vulnerable to high risk in terms of significant infections. So they're not in one of the 1A, 1B, or 1C groups, which is exactly why they ought to be getting tested, so that they understand when they are carrying the virus out into the community. The general population, which would include that group, fall into phase two. And right now, Pima County Health is anticipating getting to that phase sometime in the late spring, early summer. So this is not right around the corner. They've got phase one scheduled for December 2020, which they've obviously begun through the spring. And then the phase two, which is the general population and any of the high-risk critical population people that didn't fall within the first three phases are scheduled for spring. It's going to be a while, and that's why we can't let our guard down, and that's why the whole issue of inviting thousands of students back into the community is just a bad idea.
Let's talk a little bit about the city council, the budget situation. How do you see it for 2021? Are we getting some federal money out of this latest program that was passed in Washington? And of course, now with the Biden administration, you could see more stimulus. What's the very latest?
Well, we are mildly surprised, pleasantly, with the revenue situation. Back in August, September, when we were in the middle of COVID and nobody was at the start of the fiscal year, nobody was quite sure what was going to happen. We were expecting the wheels to come off. But one of the saving graces for us has been the taxation of online sales. And as you know, everyone's buying stuff online now, whether it's groceries or Christmas presents. And so that new law has really helped us to kind of keep our head above water from a financial standpoint. So we're doing better than anticipated. It's not obviously what we'd hope it to be, but we're also not looking at significant deficits. Now, all that can change on a dime if the COVID situation goes south and if we don't get another influx of federal dollars. Right now, the current CARES package does not include money for cities, cities and counties, but we're going to get some, call it backdoor help, because there are some federal funds that are coming to our housing department and perhaps some for transportation-related issues. But we spent $95 million of federal CARES money between July 1st and December 31st. And it went to some really essential stuff. And part of that was helping people with their rent and their utilities and caregiving and, child care and that kind of thing, keeping businesses operating, loans and grants to businesses, to the arts community downtown and all over the community. So those dollars were essential. If we hadn't gotten those back in July, and being able to distribute them, we'd be having a whole different conversation right now. So you mentioned the new administration coming in. I haven't seen, maybe you know, what the result of the Georgia runoff is, because that is going to be very critical in terms of our ability to get new CARES dollars through the Congress.
Have you heard anything about the GEM show moving to a different season or a different time?
They right now are planning on March-ish, but it is not going to happen in January. And quite honestly, they're watching this the same way the rest of us are. I just talked to the a guy who runs AGTA, one of the big ones in the TCC, a month or so ago, and he asked me if I could commit to him that things would be fine in, you know, the end of January. And I said, how can I do that? You know, I mean, you're rolling some pretty expensive dice. And frankly, as we were talking a minute ago, we may be using the TCC as a vaccination site. If that were the case, that would bump a gem show being booked. And these people are planning on inviting people in from all over the world. It's not the kind of event. I mean, you know, of course we want the revenue, but it's not the kind of event that we ought to be staging in this community with people flying here from all over the world right in the middle of a pandemic. It's just, we just shouldn't. And we're not.
Speaking of the TCC, and I have about exactly 1 minute, the remodel effort has gone very well because there are no activities going on. Is it looking pretty darn good?
Yeah, when you get off, you ought to drive past it. The new hotel is looking really, really good. Rio Nuevo, and we have been working really well together, $65 million worth of upgrades. Credit to the Rio Nuevo board for really envisioning, you know, what the facility needed. Glenn Grabsky, who runs the TCC, has been very supportive of what they're doing. IT and internet upgrades, expansion to our exhibition centers. So it'll be good when we get opened up again.
Steve Kasachek, hope the new year is off to a good start for you. All the best. Thank you, sir.
You too. Take care.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. This portion of the program presented by Green Things and Zocalo Village. Of course, Green Things, one of our great sponsors here. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Check out Green Things. They're now entering their 51st year. 13 acres of amazing plants, all beautiful things they've got there, the trees, the annuals, and more. And, of course, Zocalo Village, all that wonderful Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, all sorts of beautiful handmade furniture. Their websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com, 3384 East River Road for Green Things. Dr. Robert Schwebel is a clinical psychologist and longtime Tucson resident who directed a drug treatment agency here in town in the early 1980s. Dr. Schwebel began his writing career with a weekly psychology column in the Arizona Daily Star from 1983 to 1991. In the late 1980s, he co-authored the book A Guide to a Happier Family, and then wrote Saying No Is Not Enough, Helping Children Make Wise Decisions About Alcohol and Other Drugs. A few years later, he wrote Who's on Top, Who's on Bottom? How Couples Can Learn to Share Power. In 1990, he began a drug treatment program for adolescents and now adults that is widely used across the United States and in Canada. His most recent book is Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. We welcome now Dr. Robert Schwebel to the program. Dr. Schwebel, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. It's good to be here with you.
You know, so many of us, and I'm included, I made a resolution. Mine was to wake up healthy each day in 2021, but so many times people make resolutions and they fall short. They just don't work. So now that people have made the New Year's resolutions or are still making them, I thought it would be good to discuss that with you. I know at this time of year, people have made them. Why do they do it, Dr. Schwebel, and what's the significance of the new year?
I think the simplest explanation is that we all want to make changes to make our lives better. And New Year's kind of marks a time. It's kind of a moment for a reset. So on New Year's, people make resolutions. And it's funny thing is I thought this was, for many years, I thought this was just a recent development. But it turns out 4,000 B.C., before even you and I were born, Bill,
yes,
the Babylonians were made annual commitments and promises to the gods. They promised that they'd behave well when they planted their crops. And that was in March. Of course, that was before the Roman calendar. So every March, Babylonians were making this promise. It continued with the Romans and with the Roman calendar, and these were commitments for good behavior, and it's continued on now. I think now people think more in terms of self-improvement, but it's a long tradition.
Well, you know, this year, in the era of COVID-19, perhaps people who never thought about making resolutions, this year has kind of been a wake-up call for them. And they're thinking more and more about their health. So everything is so different as we begin 2021, Dr. Schwebel.
Yes, it is. So I guess this past year, so many of our routines for all of us across the board have been disrupted. They've been put out of whack. And now we all face an enormous challenge of finding new ways of life, new ways to socialize, new ways to make a living, new ways to live closely with people we may be stuck in our home with.
How successful do you think these New Year's resolutions are?
Well, there's some research on that. They're not particularly successful. Actually, I think the finding is that close to 50% of the population make resolutions each year. So almost half. And by February, what are we, January 5th now, 6th? Just 3 weeks away, about 8% are still successful. Now, that's nothing, you know, that's good. That means almost 10% of people are following through. But in 1 month, we lose 92%. So it's not a great, we don't have a great track record in terms of our resolutions.
Why is that, do you think, Dr. Schwebel?
I'd say there are many reasons for that. One is New Year's resolutions kind of are like wishful thinking. It's like, oh, it's December 31st. Let's see. What do I want different this year? This is what I'd like. There's not a lot of forethought to it. It's just, you know, today marks the day. Today's the reset day. Let me think how I would like my life to be different. And I emphasize how I would like it to be different because that can be, that's very different from what am I going to do? What am I going to work hard at? What am I really committed to changing? So I think one reason they're so relatively unsuccessful is that it's wishful thinking. Something else is that it's also often very judgmental and critical. It's like, what's wrong with me that I'm going to fix? And that doesn't necessarily inspire people to change. I think people are more inclined to change if they think of it in terms of how can I make my life better.
Well, when you think about it, yeah, the self-critical, people are being self-critical when they put together these resolutions like, I need to lose weight. Of course, people feel, well, I'm overweight. There's a big problem there. Or maybe I need more money. How can my life be transformed? So if you can get off the self-critical track, you might be onto something.
Yes, and also by just what you mentioned, like losing weight, sometimes the goals are too grand, too large. They're not realistic. You know, I'm going to lose 60 pounds in the next 3 months. I mean, if you do that, you're going to make it onto one of these TV commercials promoting a product. But by and large, most of us aren't going to do that. They're just, so we're judgmental, we're critical, and the goals are too large, it's wishful thinking, we're not really thinking about what it entails, and I think, you know, the other thing I'd add to the list is there's a tendency to give up early. You know, you have one setback. You know, I'm on a diet and I ate chocolate cake last night and then I had some potato chips. So I give up. What the heck? It's hopeless. So, I mean, there are a lot of reasons we fail, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, people do make changes, and it's important to make changes. And I think the whole idea of a resolution, the whole idea of rethinking, how do I want my life to go? What is important to me? What matters to me? What changes would I like to make that would make a difference? How hard am I willing to work at it to sort of reevaluate everything? It's a great, you know, it's a great motivation. Ultimately, I mean, that is what we do in life. We either keep living, letting things go the way they're going, or we stop, think about it, and commit to change. So I don't want to put down New Year's resolutions. I think, you know, what we should be thinking about is what we can do to be more successful with them.
Why don't we take the break right here, and then I want to go further in, a little deeper dive with you about changing behavior, Dr. Schwebel. This is something that you have been writing about and practicing what you preach. I mean, for decades, you've been talking with adolescents and now adults about issues like alcohol, drugs. So I want to talk about changing behavior and realistically setting goals. So stick around, Dr. Schwebel. We'll take a break right here. We'll be back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. More with clinical psychologist Dr. Robert Schwebel. Good advice about how to start the new year on the right foot. We'll be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the program also presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City so you will be ready when New Mexico is once again open to out-of-state visitors. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, so much to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For more on many things to do and some great places to stay, please visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's continue now with our conversation with Dr. Robert Schwebel, clinical psychologist, longtime Tucson resident, who originally began his career opening up and directing a drug treatment agency here in town. That was back in the early 1980s. He's been very successful as an author. His most recent book is Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. He's also the creator of a very successful program known as the Seven Challenges. This program is a drug treatment program for adolescents and now adults. It's widely used across North America. Dr. Schwebel, thinking about how to change behavior, and let's talk a little bit in context with the book Leap of Power, and the Seven Challenges program.
Yes. When people have alcohol or drug problems, they're essentially, and they want to make changes, they want their life to be better, they're essentially doing, making resolutions, much like New Year's resolutions. They decide they want to change their behavior, they want to make their life better. And just as I said in discussing some of the reasons for the failure of New Year's resolutions, people don't do a lot of thinking about what it really means, what they'd be giving up, what they'd be losing. If you've been using alcohol to cope with life and suddenly you're not drinking anymore, you're losing something. So people have to consider that. They have to consider how hard it is to make a change. So there's a great parallel between resolutions to make changes in drinking or drug use patterns with making New Year's resolutions.
How about, where does reflection fit in this? The difference perhaps between someone making a resolution and someone maybe reflecting, Dr. Schwebel, on what they have accomplished perhaps in 2020 and what they've missed or lost.
Yes, I think, we talk about in the Seven Challenges program that you mentioned, we talk about mastery living and mastery counseling. And mastery living is essentially taking a look at what's going on in your life, living mindfully, paying attention, and looking around and see what's going well. What have been your successes? Enjoy your successes. Savor your successes. And things that are successful, leave it be. But also look at what's not going well or as well as you'd like it to be going. And these are the areas where you have issues, and you can work on your issues. And, you know, your issues can become parts of your life that you want to change. Now, during COVID, I, for one, have been in a particularly privileged position. I've been able to stay home. I've been able to work from my home. And I'm not in financial straits. I mean, I've been very fortunate about that. And for me, it's been an opportunity. There've been new things. I've been learning new ways to have fun. You know, figuring out. Like you, Bill, I like to travel a lot,
and we I know.
Talk about our travel. So we've been figuring out how to take day trips and discovering places to hike around town. And there's so many of them, and we have a little rubber raft that we take out to Lake Patagonia and float around and paddle a bit. So, I mean, I do think we have to appreciate what we've accomplished. For me, I've been fortunate in that it has not been the disaster it's been for so many people, and we haven't suffered so many losses of friends, although we do have friends and relatives who've suffered. But I think everybody can look at their own resilience, what they've managed to do under these very difficult circumstances. And I think that's very important.
I want to go back to how can we be more successful? And perhaps you can go through some tips for us. Let's begin with the whole setting goals. Give us a couple of quick tips and then go on to making commitments.
Good. That's a great idea. Let's start with goals. Number one, set small, realistic and attainable goals. Do it in small bits. Instead of I'm going to lose 60 pounds, maybe I'll focus on 2 pounds a month. Instead of I'm going to be svelte and sculpted, I'm going to do exercise 4 times a week. So make goals realistic and attainable. I mean, it's far better to attain small goals than to fail at big ones. And you kind of add them up. You get more and more successes. I would say make goals measurable. So it kind of fits with being small and attainable. You know, once a week for exercise, 2 pounds in a month, no more than 1 hour of television a day, half an hour of household cleaning per day. Make it something that you can actually measure so you see how you're doing. These are some of the important things. Bill, if I can be a little bit personal, you mentioned wake up healthy this year.
Yes.
I mean, that's something that you could break down into, what can you do each day that would lead you to be healthier when you wake up? You know, what type of eating patterns, what sort of exercise, what time do you go to bed? I don't want to probe here or anything, but those are sorts of the things where you can make it something that you can get your teeth into and say, aha, this is something that I can accomplish. Because, unfortunately, part of waking up healthy, a certain element of is within our control, and some of it is not within our control.
Of course.
So we have to think about what are the things we control and what are the things we cannot control, especially now. During COVID.
And I was going to say, not only healthy physically, but mentally. And one of the areas Dr. Schwebel is talking about gratitude. And I've tried to do this a lot during the COVID year in 2020, waking up and maybe listing in my mind a couple of things, maybe two, three things each morning that I'm very thankful for, and kind of in my mind setting up a gratitude wish list and things I would like to change, and perhaps very simple things that I'm very thankful for each day, Dr. Schwebel.
That's great. And, you know, I don't know whether you just came to that on your own or whether you've been looking at the research, but gratitude is enormously important in mental health. There's been a lot of research on that recently. It's very recent research. So, you know, that's a great way to view things. I mean, we have to be positive during these difficult times.
I'm actually feeling pretty good because I was a couple of pounds overweight, or the poundage area that I'm comfortable with, and something about just looking at the calendar and living through the 2 weeks before Christmas and New Year's, it's just something about it, you're going to gain weight. And I had set a goal on New Year's, I'd like to drop a couple of pounds back to a weight I'm comfortable with, and I hit that goal today. So
I'm feeling, way to go.
But, you know, you had mentioned the realistic, drop a couple of pounds, maybe rather than the big thing about I want to drop 30 pounds or something. What if you did a couple of pounds every couple of weeks, or even 4 or 5 pounds a month? That might be realistic.
Right. And you commit, you know, another element, you wanted some tips, you said, and
yes,
you mentioned this, in fact, is commitment. You know, it's one thing to say you would like this to happen, and it's something else to make it happen. And you have to, in a sense, you have to fight for it. And you have to fight, you know, if it's dropping a few pounds, you have to fight those trips to the refrigerator. You know, you have to fight those exceptions. Well, I'll have a bag of chips today because maybe tomorrow I'll whatever. You know, it's a funny thing, Bill. There's this, people have this idea, and I'm not talking down my nose at others. I know I do this exact thing. It's like, today, Robert is going to be different from tomorrow, Robert. So today I have the bag of chips because tomorrow I'll make up for it.
Yep.
That's not commitment. That's lying to yourself, you know.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and we have a great friendship. I don't want to get too personal on the radio, but I have known you. Really, we met when you were doing the psychology column at the Arizona Daily Star, and I interviewed you for some of my programs on Arizona Illustrated over the years, and it's great to have you now on the radio as we're celebrating now 10 full years of the Buckmaster Show, or into year 11. So I'm grateful for you and your friendship and what you've done for our community. Thank you.
And I am so grateful for your show, and it has always been your radio show now, and before that, your TV show. It's always been the class, the one place I wanted to talk, the one person I wanted to interview me was always you, Bill.
Thank you very much. On that note, we'll leave it right there. Dr. Robert Schwebel, author of Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life, his latest book. Dr. Schwebel, is that book available now on Amazon?
Yes, it is.
Probably the best place to go to look it up.
It's an Audible or a regular book.
All right. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you. Have a great year.
Happy New Year to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. Bill Buckmaster with you. Thanks, Tom Fairbanks, our first show together of the new year. Here's to many more, Mr. Fairbanks. All right, everybody. Have a great afternoon.